Turn with me, if you would, please, to the Gospel of John. John chapter 6, we'll be looking at verse 52 through 71. John chapter 6, verses 52 through 71. It is found on page 945 in the Pew Bible, page 945. Let us hear the holy, inspired, and inerrant word of God. The Jews therefore quarreled among themselves, saying, "How can this man give us his flesh to eat?" Then Jesus said to them, "Most assuredly, I say to you, unless you eat the flesh of the Son of Man and drink his blood, you have no life in you. Whoever eats my flesh and drinks my blood has eternal life, and I will raise him up at the last day. For my flesh is food indeed, and my blood is drink indeed. He who eats my flesh and drinks my blood abides in me, and I in him. As the living Father sent me, and I live because of the Father, so he who feeds on me will live because of me. This is the bread which came down from heaven. Not as your fathers ate the manna and are dead. He who eats this bread will live forever." These things he said in the synagogue as he taught in Capernaum. Therefore, many of his disciples, when they heard this, said, "This is a hard saying. Who can understand it?" When Jesus knew in himself that his disciples complained about this, he said to them, "Does this offend you? What then if you should see the Son of Man ascend where he was before? It is the Spirit who gives life. The flesh profits nothing. The words that I speak to you are spirit, and they are life. But there are some of you who do not believe." For Jesus knew from the beginning who they were who did not believe and who would betray him. And he said, Therefore I have said to you that no one can come to me unless it has been granted to him by my Father." From that time, many of his disciples went back and walked with him no more. Then Jesus said to the 12, "Do you also want to go away?" But Simon Peter answered him, "Lord, to whom shall we go? You have the words of eternal life. Also, we have come to believe and know that you are the Christ, the Son of the living God." Jesus answered them, "Did I not choose you, the 12, and one of you is a devil?" He spoke of Judas Iscariot, the son of Simon, for it was he who would betray him, being one of the 12. So ends the reading of God's word. Let us pray together. O Lord, we come to your word now, and we ask you to open our hearts. We ask you, O God, the Holy Spirit, to teach us to apply your word to our hearts, that we might learn spiritual truth. For our learning is of no value, but come and apply your word to our hearts and show us our Savior. Direct every word that it will honor you. For we ask this in Jesus' name. Amen. The Bible is clear that no one seeks after God. In our fallen nature, we all reject the offer of God's salvation. The Scripture comes to us, and if the Spirit doesn't work, we reject it. It's a painful thing to be rejected. And no doubt Jesus, in his humanity here, as the gospel was rejected, no doubt in his humanity, he must have felt something. And I'm sure that all of you have experienced some form of rejection in your life. You can remember it. You know, it probably, you still probably remember the pain that you went through when you're rejected. I know that I do. Let me just read a few examples. And a lot of this rejection is not justifiable, but yet you experience it. The rejection, many times, is wrong. Let me just read a few from history. In 1902, the poetry editor of Atlantic Monthly returned a stack of poems with this note: "Our magazine has no room for your vigorous verse. We don't want your kind of poetry." I'm sure Robert Frost felt the pain when he received that rejection. Or, for instance, in 1905, when the University of Bern turned down a doctoral dissertation that this man worked very hard on, when he received the note on his dissertation, "This is irrelevant and fanciful. This is not acceptable." I'm sure Albert Einstein felt very rejected when he received that back as well, and just not applicable. Or in 1894, when an English teacher put a note on an elderly teenager who's in his high teens on his report card that a conspicuous lack of success, this boy will go nowhere. I'm sure Winston Churchill felt the pain of receiving something like that as well. But rejection can be painful, and it often is. And here in John 6, we see the most horrible, terrible, and worst rejection that anyone could ever do: the rejection of Jesus as the Messiah. I believe that Jesus not only wanted his disciples to hear why the multitude rejected him, but I think also he wanted them to understand that they too would be rejected because of him. And I think today, as we are considering Jesus teaching his disciples at a seminary class and applying it, that we too need to understand why we will be rejected, why his disciples will be rejected. Now, Jesus is trying to get his disciples to see why many will reject him. And I think as we look at the verses of Scripture and try to read from them what it's saying, we can understand why they reject him. And I like to look at it in that light, in what Jesus is saying to them. The first thing I think Jesus is saying, they reject me because of, first of all, my way of eternal life is too narrow. You see that in verses 52 through 59. They reject me because my way of eternal life is too narrow. Notice that said in verses 52 through 59. Now, when Jesus talks about eating his flesh and drinking his blood, he's not talking about this literally. You'll notice in verse 63, he says, "The words that I speak are spiritual. The flesh profits nothing." He's speaking about spiritual things, and they can't understand that. He's talking about that they must assimilate him into their life, into every aspect of their life, that he has to influence everything in their life. Whatever you do, do all for the glory of God. 1 Corinthians 10:31. Whatever it is, Jesus is supposed to influence everything. You know, it's not like adding church to your life like you would add, let's say, a bridge club which meet once a week, or a bowling league that you go to once a week. You don't add church like that where you go once on a Sunday and you go home and you put your Bible on the shelf and that's the end of Christianity for the week. Jesus is saying, no, I have to be such a part of your life that I influence everything you do every day. And they rejected that. So he says, my way of eternal life is too narrow. Now, three things I'd like you to notice about this. First of all, they reject my offer of eternal life. Jesus is saying they reject me because of my way of eternal life is too narrow. First of all, they reject my offer of eternal life in verses 52 through 53. Jesus' gift of eternal life influences every aspect of your life. Now, it's very interesting in verse 53. He says, unless you eat the flesh of the Son of Man and drink his blood, you have no life in you. They reject the offer. Now, they were dead in their trespasses and sins. And the Spirit needs to give life. John 3 talks about that. The Spirit blows where it wills. And John 6:37, all that the Father gives to me will come to me. And he who comes to me I will by no means cast out. It's not works. It's interesting. You see that word eat in verse 53? That word is phago, which means to eat normally. And then in verse 54, the word eat is trogo, which means to chew, to digest slowly, to make sure that you taste it all and it's absorbed very carefully. Jesus is making it even more hard to understand with the disciples that are listening to him. That's what you have to do. Jesus is saying, they reject my offer of eternal life. It's not words. It's not works. It's me coming into their life and influencing their life. I'm telling them what I have to do, what they need to do to receive me. And they reject it. Secondly, they reject my sacrifice for eternal life. In verse 54 through 56, he says, eat my flesh and drink my blood has eternal life, and I will raise him up on the last day. In other words, he's saying, my flesh and my blood will be offered as a sacrifice. My flesh is food indeed. If you understand that my flesh is given for you, my blood was shed for you, that's what I did for you, for them, but they reject that. He abides in you by your Spirit, but they couldn't get past that. They reject his sacrifice. They think it's something they got to do, you see. They're used to the old covenant systems where they do all these things. And Jesus says, no, it's not doing. It's believing. It's trusting. And I'll give my life for that, for eternal life. They reject my sacrifice for eternal life. Then thirdly, Jesus says they reject my gift of eternal life, verses 57 through 58. You'll notice Jesus' gift involves a living hope and a promise. As the living Father sent me and I live because of the Father, so he who feeds on me will live because of me. See, they were looking for something here and now. They were looking for the overthrow of Rome. And Jesus is talking about spiritual life. He was talking about living spiritually, about heaven, about everlasting life. They couldn't get that. Notice, turn back to John for a moment. John chapter 20 says this. John chapter 20, verse 21. So Jesus said to them, peace to you, as the Father has sent me, I also send you. See what Jesus is talking about there? The Father sent me to give you life, and He gives me life, and now I'm giving you life. It's a gift. And the way is too narrow for them. They can't take it. too narrow. It's not works. And that's not what they're looking for. Bread came down from heaven, not as your fathers ate the manna and are dead. He who eats this bread will live forever. He's talking about spiritual life, assimilating Christ into your life. And they don't go there at all. They don't understand it. And Jesus explains why. But they just want nothing to do with this. And I think what Jesus is trying to get his disciples to see is that this way is too narrow. Unless the Holy Spirit opens the eyes, opens the heart, and gives understanding, no one will go. No one will come to them. The Spirit gives life. The Spirit must do this. So, Jesus says, first of all, I think what he's trying to get across, my way of eternal life is too narrow. Secondly, in verses 60 through 66, my teaching is too offensive. My teaching is too offensive. In verse 60 through 66, they don't like what he teaches. And let's look at what he teaches. First of all, Jesus says, they reject my deity. You see this in verses 60 through 62. He says to them, many of his disciples, and when they heard this, said, this is a hard saying. Who can understand it? He's dealing with spiritual matters. They don't understand it. And he says, if you see Jesus ascend to heaven, if you see that, what if you would see the Son of Man ascend into heaven where he was before? Do you know what that means? What does that mean about Jesus? It means that he's God. And are you willing to accept that? Are you willing to believe that? That's not what you want. You want Rome overthrown. But that's not going to happen. Jesus knew in himself that the disciples were complaining about this. It's very interesting. In verse 61, where it says, they complained. That word is the word gongudzo. It's an onomatopoetic word, gongudzo. You can almost hear it. So we get the word gong from here, our English word gong. It means to mutter or to murmur, to grumble, to say something in a low tone. Jesus said, when they complained, when they murmured, when they gongudzo, he heard them. They didn't think he heard them, but he heard them. He knew what they were saying. And he said to them, does this offend you? This word offend is also an onomatopoetic word. Scandalizo. It means a stumbling block. Does this word, what I say when I'm saying to you, does this put a stumbling block before you? That you won't accept what I say? That you reject my deity? That's the first thing. They reject my deity. In verses 60 through 62. They reject my deity. Jesus says, 60 to 62. What if you see this? What if you see the Son of Man ascend where he was before? And his group of disciples, the 11, saw him ascend to heaven. It means he's God. How are you going to handle that? If you can't handle what I'm saying now. So he's saying, you see, they reject us. Secondly, they reject my ways. In verse 63, it's the Spirit who gives life. The flesh profits nothing. The words that I speak to you are Spirit and they are life. Jesus is saying the Spirit does it all. You bring nothing. And they didn't like that. And most people don't like that. The Scripture says we are dead in our trespasses and sins. We have no ability in ourselves. The Spirit has to give us life. He has to do it. And he goes and moves and quickens those whom he wills. Very interesting. You see where it says the flesh profits nothing? That's a double negative there. Which means it's very emphatic. And it kind of says this, the flesh profits absolutely, positively nothing. That's literally how it should be understood. Absolutely nothing. Not even a little bit provides nothing. Just like they were, like we were, dead in sin, trespasses and sin. Jesus is saying, as you look at this, as you look at these words, you can see that they're rejecting his ways. He's trying to get his disciples to see that. And then thirdly, they reject my authority. Verses 64 through 66. They reject my authority. He says, there are some of you who do not believe, for Jesus knew from the beginning who they were who did not believe and who would betray him. And he said, therefore I have said to you that no one can come to me unless it has been granted to him by my Father. Wow. Strong words, isn't it? From that time, many of his disciples went back and walked with him no more. Jesus speaks of God's authority in election. That God has chosen his people for salvation. And that was too much for them. When he said that the Father has to grant to them salvation, that they can't come unless it has been granted to them by the Father, that was too much. That was it. And notice what it says. Many of his disciples went back and walked with him no more. You see, they had the same response to the sovereignty of God in that day as we have in our day. Now, could you imagine how Jesus would be treated by a contemporary church planning committee today? See how they would handle this. Jesus, you know, you just lost most of your church. Don't you think you need to kind of lighten up a little bit on some of these things? You know, maybe you shouldn't talk about those things yet. Maybe you should use some different words. I mean, maybe not say that exactly. Maybe you ought to think about just kind of glazing over that and not talking about that. I mean, people don't want to be upset. They just want everything to go well. They want to hear things that make them feel good. And we think that maybe you should take some courses on communication, personal communications, because you sent away a lot of people. Now you have to start all over again. That's how you'd probably be treated today with many of the church planning committees. You see, because many of the church planning committees are focused on numbers, not on people, not on the quality, not on truth. But that's what happened here. Many went away. So, Jesus had a church split here, and the majority went away. But truth was established, and truth stood, and that's the way it should be. So, Jesus is trying to relay here, as they reflect on this, my teaching is too offensive. Verse 60 through 66. To most people, now to God's elect, they will respond, but to many people, it's too offensive. Then thirdly, in verses 67 to 71, my divine presence is too convicting. My divine presence is too convicting. I think that's what he's trying to bring across here to his disciples as they're listening, as they're watching, as they're interacting. First of all, In verses 67 and 68, they reject my eternal salvation with skepticism. They reject my eternal salvation with skepticism. They just go away because they don't like what Jesus said about God's mercy. You see that? So he says to the 12, do you want to go away as well? I mean, do you want to go along with them? It's very interesting what Peter says. And I think it's a response to them, to what they had just said. Peter answered and said, Lord, to whom shall we go? Where are we going to go? And this is what they say. You have the words of eternal life. Lord, they don't believe it, but we do. We believe that you speak the words of eternal life. What you're speaking is truth. Now, we don't understand it all, but we believe that what you're speaking is truth. They don't believe it. The ones that left, they don't believe it, but we do. And we're staying. They rejected eternal salvation with skepticism, but we don't. We know that you speak the words of eternal life. Secondly, I think Jesus is saying they reject my incarnation with disbelief in verse 69. It says, also we have come to believe and know that you are the Christ, the Son of the living God. You are the Christ, the Son of the living God. Jesus claimed to be the Son of God. They rejected that. Look back at John chapter 6, verse 41. John chapter 6, verse 41. Notice what they said. Then the Jews then complained about him because he said, I am the bread which came down from heaven. And they said, is not this Jesus, the son of Joseph, whose father and mother we know? How is it then that he says, I have come down from heaven? You see, they're saying, hey, no way. We know Joseph and Mary, his parents. He's not the son of God. No way. But the disciples say, we do believe that you are the Christ. They reject you, but we don't. We know who you are. Jesus is saying, my divine presence and what I am saying and what I represent by being here, they reject. And the disciples come back by saying, we don't. And then thirdly, in verses 70 and 71, they reject my ministry with vengeance. They reject my ministry with vengeance. Jesus answered them, did I not choose you, the 12, and one of you is a devil? He spoke of Judas Iscariot, the son of Simon, for it was he who would betray him, being one of the 12. They reject my ministry with vengeance. See what he's trying to do? With these words, what he's saying through these words. Jesus came the first time to pay for the sins of his people. As I said, they wanted to overthrow Rome. But when he didn't do what they wanted, they crucified him. That was in the plan of God. But you understand what they wanted to do to him. They came to the point where they couldn't stand him because he didn't do what they wanted. They hated him. And Judas thought he'd get what he could out of this. Get whatever money he could. Make the best deal. But later he realized he was wrong. He went out and hung himself. Remember what Jesus said about him? Matthew 26. Remember what Jesus said in Matthew 26. Very tragic. Matthew 26, verse 24. The Son of Man indeed goes just as it is written of him, but woe to that man by whom the Son of Man is betrayed. it would have been good for that man if he had not been born. They wanted to crucify him. That's what they did. Jesus says, they reject my ministry, but not this kind of rejection where they say, okay, we heard what you said, you're the Son of God, that you're going to do this, and pay. We reject all that. We'll listen to the next guy. No. They hated him. And they wanted to do away with him. And they tried to find all kinds of ways to kill him. And finally, they were able to crucify him. But that was in the plan of God. And in these verses, I think, we see the rejection of Jesus the Messiah. Jesus is saying, my way of eternal life is too narrow. My teaching is too offensive, and my divine presence is too convicting. The rejection of Jesus the Messiah. Do you reject Jesus the Messiah? Are his ways too demanding for you? Does he require too much of your life? As your Savior, he will influence every aspect of your life and begin to make you practically holy. Remember these odds. Remember this. Everyone out of everyone born will die. They're not good odds. Unless you are alive in the generation that Jesus returns, regardless, you will stand before your Creator and give an account of your life. And unless you have been forgiven by the Lord Jesus and your sins have been washed away and you have the righteousness of Jesus, you will be cast into eternal judgment forever and ever. Now is the day to change from rejecting Jesus to accepting him. Jesus says to you, if you come to me, I will by no means cast you out. Will you accept Jesus the Messiah? That's a very serious and very important question. A question that only you can answer.